Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Tzadi Zayin. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the top of Daf Tzadi Zayin, we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion that we began at the end of our previous shiur. In our previous shiur, we had introduced Shmuel, who made a distinction between the case of a thigh with a gid hanosh in it being cooked versus it being roasted. According to Shmuel, in the case of cooking, the taste has the capability of spreading, and hence the possibility of the entire thigh being forbidden, being rendered forbidden because of the spreading, the potential of the spreading taste. This is contrasted, according to Shmuel, with the case of a thigh roasted with the gid in it, where we say that you can peel away layer after layer of meat until you get to the gid itself, indicating that peel, of course, when we say peel away, peel and eat it, indicating, of course, that there is no spreading of forbidden taste. The Gemara had raised a question from an example of a goat roasted with its chalev in it, and we were taught that the entire goat would be forbidden. So the Gemara answered, well, chalev is different. Chalev is a substance that spreads. That's opposed to the gid, which, when roasted, doesn't spread throughout the entire piece of meat. The Gemara now at the top of Tzadi Zayin asks, Ube chelev osur? And in the case of chelev, is it really osur? This is a question that lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking the kuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicates the length of the question. We should point out, by way of markings, we have a Roman numeral number 1, and this is introduced by our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, which explains the structure of the upcoming piece of Gemara. We have featured under our Mivneh heading a Roman numeral 1 and 2. There's a crown marking that's used around the word Have, and it appears in our Gemara simply to give the a sense of structure to the Gemara. These represent Shnei Lishonos, two versions, B'mahu HaMaisa Shel Iser V'Heter Shebo Lefnei Rabbi Yochanan. There was a case of Iser V'Heter is an expression that is used when dealing with kashrus of food, especially in cases of mixtures, where that which is prohibited is in contact or is mixed with that which is allowed. So in our Gemara, we'll have two separate cases represented by two separate lishonos. We've also added a double underline under the expression v'shailua the Rabbi Yochanan. Again, this marking is to give literally the expression, the question was asked, they asked Rabbi Yochanan for a legal ruling. But with our markings, what we're trying to do is give a sense of balance and structure. Even though, as far as the content of this particular sugya, only the first lashon has direct relevance to our, let's say, our immediate discussion. But since, as far as raising the question in the first lashon, we had to introduce a case involving a question posed to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara feels it's necessary to show that there was a different version of that story, and that will appear under our Roman numeral number 2 when we get to it. In the meantime, the question that we're dealing with is it really so that when we're dealing with the roasting of chilev, there is spreading? So the Gemara asks, once again, at the top line, uvechelev asur, and in the case of roasting something with chelev, which is a forbidden substance, is it really to be expected to spread throughout the meat in which it's contained? V'ho'omar Rabo Bar Barchano. Rabo Barchano tells us, uvdo have kameid Rabbi Yochanan, an incident happened in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, v'knishta demoin. That is the reference to the name of a place, Knishta Demoin, Begidi Shitzola Bechelbo. It was in fact this very case of a goat roasted with its chelev. V'osu v'shailu al Rabbi Yochanan. They came and asked Rabbi Yochanan, well, what's to be? The goat, is it to be forbidden because it was roasted while the chelev was inside? The Omar and Rabbi Yochanan ruled koylef v'oichel ad shemagi lechelbo. You can peel away layer after layer of goat meat and eat it until you get to the part where the chelev is located. Until you get to the chelev itself, of course is forbidden, but until you get to that point, it's allowed. So we see from over here that the presence of chelev doesn't indicate that the chelev that chelev by definition spreads. So the Gemara answers, Hahu kochush have. The goat in that story was a very lean goat. Being that it was very lean, lean, scrawny, so it didn't have the necessary elements that, generally speaking, promote the spreading. If, however, you have a fat-type goat, and you roasted it with the chelev, so you can imagine then that the fattiness in the goat will promote the spreading of the chelev to all parts of its body. Rav Huna bar Yehuda Omar, kulya bechalbo have v'sharya. Rav Huna reports that the story involving Rabbi Yochanan and his allowance was because It was a case of a kulya is a kidney with its chelev. It was a case of a kidney being roasted with its chelev, and the heter, the allowance that was given regarding the kulya. And why is that allowed? Even though one will say that chelev in fact does spread. But in the case of the kulya b'chalbo, there's a membrane between the organ itself and its surrounding chelev, and that membrane prevents the chelev from penetrating into the kulya. Rovin bar Rav Ado Omar, he has a, as we have a Roman numeral 2 over here, and says that as far as the story involving Rabbi Yochanan, Kirchis beilfis have the osu shailu the Rabbi Yochanan. This represents still an additional version of what took place. It was a case of kirchis beilfis. Rashi says sheketz dogim ktanim. This is a type of forbidden small fish that was prepared in an ilfis is a type of pan with meat. And they asked Rabbi Yochanan, what should we do? We have this forbidden fish that was cooked up together with kosher meat. For also v'shel Rabbi Yochanan, they came and asked Rabbi Yochanan v'amar lahu, and he said, the solution is as follows, litame kfeila armo. A kfeila is a person involved in the preparation of food. Rashi refers to him as a nachtom. It's a person who's involved, as we say, with preparing food. Go to this, an armo means a Gentile. So you go to this Gentile chef and let him taste it. And based on what he says, Rashi adds some very important information over here. And it says that when you go to the Gentile chef and ask him how it tastes, don't tell him that you're asking because it will affect
Jewish law, you know, affect laws of kashrus. Just ask him what kind of taste he perceives. This is called lefi tumo. Rashi, let's read this inside. Litame kfelo, nachtoim oive kichovim, vashmina demutu lismo cholov lefi tumo. This Gemara, this story, Rabbi Yochanan's psak here, tells us that you can rely on this Gentile, provided it's with he's answering, we'll say, in a state of innocence or without pre-knowledge of the significance of what he tells us. V'lo yodi'uhu shetzrichino l'davar l'dvar yisaveter. Provided you don't tell him that your question is because of laws of kashrus. Omar Rava, me reish have kokashioli hadasanya. On the heels of this particular presentation of let's say Rovin Bar of Ado's presentation of the story involving Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan's response, he says, before this story I had difficulty understanding that which is taught. Hadasanya, that which appears in the following source. Kedero shebishel ba, pot in which was cooked basar, that meat was cooked, lo yivasha bo cholav, you shouldn't cook milk in it. In other words, the pot in which meat was cooked, it will absorb a meaty taste, and therefore milk cannot be cooked in such a pot. The im bishel, and if you did cook up some milk in this meat pot meaning a pot that had absorbed meat. We're not talking about pieces of meat that are necessarily being cooked in milk right now. We're talking about a pot that happened to have meat that was cooked in it, and then you cooked up milk in it. So, but no same time, if there is a meaty taste, a perceived meat taste in the milk that you cooked up, so the milk will be forbidden. Likewise, truma, if you have a pot in which truma was cooked up, truma is a tithe that's given to the kohanim. A non-kohen is not allowed to eat truma. So if you have a pot in which truma was cooked up, lo yivashil bo chulin, common vegetables, chulin means non-tithed, truma that's been tithed already, and it's that which remains for the Israel to eat, for the owner to eat. He should not cook up his chulin, fruits and vegetables, in a pot in which truma was cooked up. Ve'im bishel, and if he did, if a person cooked up chulin food in a pot that had previously been used for cooking up truma, but no same time, the outcome will be determined if there is a taste of the truma taste, whatever truma fruits or vegetables have been cooked up, if that taste is perceived in whatever chulin food item you cooked up afterwards, then the chulin will be usur, will be prohibited based on the fact that it has a truma taste to it. So Rava tells us, and we should have pointed out earlier that when starting with Rava, we have a long point. He's making a point that lasts to the bottom line, in which he expresses his difficulty. He says, Bishlama truma toyim le'kohen. I understand the truma case can be determined by a kohen tasting it. A kohen is, of course, allowed to eat truma. So in the worst case scenario, that the truma taste is perceived in the chulin that was cooked up in it, fine, it's okay. A kohen is allowed to eat truma anyway. So he's eating chulin with the truma taste. That's fine. And he can tell us whether the chulin is mutter or not. Namely, if the chulin doesn't have a truma taste to it, then anyone can eat the chulin. If the chulin that was cooked up in the truma pot has a truma taste to it, so it then would be limited to kohanim eating it. That I understand, says Rava. Hello, the first case, Bosar Becholov, Man Toyim Lei. In the case involving Bosar Becholov, that is something prohibited to all Jews. Milk, meat cooked together is something prohibited to all Jews. So who's going to taste it? However, Hashtadom Rabbi Yochanan Samchinon Akfela Armo, now that we heard Rabbi Yochanan was willing to rely on the Gentile chef. So too in this case, the case of the meat milk, Gentiles are not prohibited in Boser B'cholav. We give it to a Gentile, ask him what kind of taste does he feel is in this this milk. If he tells us that, oh, it has a meaty taste, so it's all know that the milk is prohibited. Omar Rava. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a Mivneh note, because we're about to encounter some diamonds. So under our Mivneh note, we have the following. Gimel Drachim Livdoik Ulhitmodeid Im Tam Isor. We'll have three approaches in how to deal with the taste of substances that are prohibited. In order to determine outcomes, we rely on sometimes betaima, on taste, bekfela, a Gentile chef, and beshishim, a quantity of 60 of allowed substance that would outnumber the forbidden quantity. The Gemara. Omar Rava, Omar Rabbonan betaima, the Rabbonan teach that sometimes we determine things based on taste. The Omar Rabbonan betfela, and sometimes we are to rely on the chef, the Gentile chef, as Rabbi Yochanan said before. And as we turn to the top of Omid Beis, the Omar Rabbonan beshishim, and sometimes we rely on the presence of 60. In other words, if there's 60 times amount of allowed substance, that will counter the amount of prohibited substance. In other words, 1/60th of this pot is of, let's say, forbidden substance, then we will rule leniently. We'll rule it's allowed. So we just learned 3 points, and now application. And we will continue the numbering to correspond to the numbers we had already. Number one, Hilkoch, min b'she'eno mino de'hetera, b'taimo, if you have unlike substances that are cooked together, where both substances are allowed, at least to some people. For example, the case of truma and chulin. So if, let's say, you had some truma vegetables cooked up with chulin meat, the meat being eno mino, it's a different substance than the truma, and both substances are allowed. So b'taimo, we can ask a kohen to taste it, and if he tells us that there's no vegetable taste perceived in this meat, so the meat can be eaten by anybody. De'isura, if you have a min b'she'eno mino, a mixture of unlike substances, but they are prohibited. You can't ask, let us say, a Jew to taste it, because if there is the perceived taste of the forbidden substance, so then he will be in violation. So in order to determine cases like that, like we had before with the Bosar B'cholov, so B'kfela, there we will rely on the information relayed to us by the Gentile chef. Umin B'mino, if you have two substances that are like substances, the leko lemeka mataimo, where since they're both like substances, there's no way to say that the taste of one is perceived in the other. Inami min b'she'eno mino de isura v'leko kfelo, or another scenario where you've got unlike substances cooked together, where you could perceive the taste of the forbidden in the allowed. However, you don't have a kfelo, you don't have a Gentile available. So in cases like that, then b'shishim, we will rely on the presence, if you have 60 times the amount of allowed substance, we will allow you to eat the entire quantity. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. Yerech Shin, on the outside margin, of course, the Nosei reads, Yerech a thigh shenimlach, that was salted. Vadayin gid hanoshe hoya besocho, it was salted before the gid hanoshe was removed from it. Hano akmisa, thighs, meat, meat that was thigh meat, the imlichu be resh galusa begida nasha, in the home of the resh galusa, the head of the Jewish exile community, the diaspora community. He was known as the resh galusa, and the thighs were salted while the gid hanosha was in it. When we talk about salting, the common case of salting is where you're salting to remove the blood. So you have thighs that were salted with the gid hanosha while still in it. Ravina osar, Rav Acho bar Rav Shori. Ravina says that a result of this salting with the gid hanosh in it creates a similar situation to the case of cooking the thigh with the gid in it, and hence it's usur. Rav Acho says otherwise, says it's allowed. In other words, post facto, if one happened to do this, he can eat the meat. Asu shailua lemor barav ashi. The question was posed to Mar Rav Ashi, Omar Lahu, Abba Shori, and Mar Rav Ashi says that father, namely Rav Ashi, allows. Omar Lay, let us point out that we're about to start a long question. The long question mark, you could see a kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line indicating that all of the lines of Gemara opposite this vertical dashed line form the question. So Rav Acha, who was lenient in this case, turns to Ravina, who was stringent, who was strict, who was restrictive. Only Rav Acha bar Rav the Ravina. My daitoch, what is your intent, or based on what are you forbidding the case of the leg salted with the gid in it? Is it because the Omar Shmuel Maliach Hareu Kiroseach Kovush Hareu Kimevushal? Is it because Shmuel views salting as Roseach, as heat? In other words, salting something is the equivalent of subjecting it to heat. Kovush is pickling something, is something that remains in a pickled environment or in a submerged in a liquid environment for enough time, creates it or classifies it as mevushal, as if it were cooked. So is your restriction based on the fact that Shmuel views salting like roseach? Roseach is an expression regarding heat, subjected to heat. I don't want to be too specific because we have to leave some room for the Gemara as it unfolds. So is your hesitancy or your restriction because salting is like roseach? V'amar Shmuel. But Shmuel himself said, Loi shanu, the Mishnah that we learned on Tzadivov Amid Beis regarding a thigh with gid in it, and that the Mishnah had taught that the thigh with the gid in it is rendered forbidden if it's cooked together with the gid in it. So Shmuel says that prohibition, prohibiting the entire thigh, is limited, though. Lo shana lishin is bashabal. That's true only if it's cooked up with it, cooked in a pot of water. Avol nitzle ba. If, however, the thigh was roasted with the gid in it, Shmuel taught, kolef viochel ad shemagia legid, that the meat is allowed. You can peel layer and layer of meat away and eat it until you get to the gid itself. So, is your hesitancy so far based on Shmuel's teaching that Maliach is like Roseach? But Shmuel himself said that prohibiting the thigh with the gid in it is limited to the case of cooking, not the case of roasting. The chitema, you who are restrictive, might want to say, my kiroseach, dika omar. The Shmuel comment of Maliach kiroseach, that roseach, when we spoke about heat, means kiroseach de mevushal, that salting is kiroseach, meaning salting is like it being cooked, and therefore it should be forbidden, just like Shmuel taught regarding the thigh cooked up with the gid. But that's not the intent of Shmuel when he says Moliach Kiroseach, that Roseach there means like cooking. But from the fact that Shmuel in the same breath also taught Kavush Harehu Kimavushal, that if you want to compare some procedure to cooking, that's true in the case of pickling. However, Michlal de Roseach, we can infer from that when he spoke about Maliach is like Roseach. Roseach is a different expression than Mevushal. Roseach, it's true, it means heat, but not the heat generated by cooking, but rather Michlal de Roseach equals Ditzli Komar. Roseach is a term associated with heat from roasting. And Shmuel already said that the thigh roasted with the gid in it is allowed. Kashya, this presents a difficulty for Ravina, who, when confronted with the case of the thigh salted with the gid in it, Ravina ruled with stringency, forbidding it. Based on what is Ravina saying what he does? So this remains a point of difficulty. Because if you were to think that he might be basing himself on Shmuel, said Moliach Harehu Kiroseach, but we just proved that the term Kiroseach that Shmuel used is associated with roasting. And in the case of roasting, we know that the gid roasted with the thigh roasted with the gid in it is permitted. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara. This indicates that which follows is a new train of thought. In the outside margin, we have our Nosei Mivne heading, the topic heading with a structural note. And we've presented a little house marking, and we've written, Dinim Be'inyin Eich Misharin Iser Shinez Bashel Beheter. We'll have different halachas concerning how we are to make calculations and estimations when prohibited substances are cooked together with permissible substances. So we have Rabbi Chanina in a house marking, and later Rabbi Avo also presenting an issue on in this topic. Omar Rabbi Chanina, we continue in the Gemara. Kishehein Misharin. When we make the calculation of Iser in the presence of 60, we mentioned before that there are occasions in which we use the 60 ratio, the one part Iser, 60, one part prohibited against 60 parts allowed. The 60, what is included in that? So just imagine for the time being we have a piece of unkosher meat that falls into a pot full of kosher meat, and we ask ourselves, if you've got 60 times the unkosher, so then you can eat the entire pot of meat. When we talk about this calculation, so the Gemara goes on, Misharin Baroitev Uvakipo Vachatichos Ubakadera. We include in the 60 times the 60 quantity of allowed, we include the gravy, the kippah. Kippah, Rashi explains, are the shreds of meat that when you're cooking up meat, that sometimes pieces fall apart and they become very fine shreds of meat, and it includes the spices and all this that gathers at the bottom of pots. That's the kippah. We also include the chatichos, naturally the pieces of meat, and also it says the pot. Now regarding this, the pot, what do we mean that we include the pot? Iko diamri, some say bikdera atzma, the pot itself. In other words, you take into consideration the size of the pot and add that to the heter that's there, the allowed substance, and evaluate, does the contents of the pot and the pot itself add up to 60 times the prohibited? The Ika Diamri, another version of this is not that we calculate the entire pot, but the Mai Debola Kedera. What we consider is that which is absorbed in the walls of the pot. this topic itself is a rather involved area, and we will leave this for a later stage of analysis outside the context of our shiurim at this point. Omar Rabbi Avo, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, kol isurin shebetorah. When you're dealing with a mixture of forbidden substance mixed in with allowed substance, and we speak about 1 to 60, Misha'arinon ki'ilu hein botzavakaflut. We look at the iser substance as if it's, botzol is often translated as onions, kaflut another type of vegetable. We look at the iser not as the iser itself, but we look at it as if it were botzol and kaflut, and then ask ourselves the question, do I have an amount of heter in which the prohibited substance, if it were botzol and kaflut, would not be, its taste would not be perceptible. In other words, I would not have an oniony taste in whatever heter I'm cooking up. It should be pointed out, and you can find this in the Rashi, that this comment, this current discussion involving the estimation based on botzol v'kaflut and can its taste be perceived, we're working right now with the assumption that we're not working with, let's say, the accepted ruling of 60, but rather we're asking ourselves another question. If I have a mixture of heter with iser, prohibited with heter is permissible with iser, with that which is prohibited, and the prohibited substance here would have been, let's say, if I have some lobster meat cooked up in a pot of noodles, I'd have to ask myself, would this quantity of lobster meat, had it been an onion, Would there be an oniony taste perceptible in my noodles? If the answer is no, because there is enough noodles to totally dilute the oniony taste, then the noodles are allowed. In presenting things like this, we're not mentioning anything about 60. So this is we'll call another method of analyzing or coming to a conclusion regarding a mixture. The Gemara continues, Omale Rabbi Abba le Abaye, Vilisharinu bepilpilin vitavlin. Why do we say that the Isser is to be viewed as if it were Botzol or Kaflut? Why not say, well, we view the Isser as if it were chili peppers and spices and things like that, even in 1,000 times its quantity, are not Botel. As many of you know, there are certain types of hot peppers that one seed of it can have an effect or impart a taste to a large pot thousands of times its size. So instead of saying that we have a chance of allowing a mixture simply because we're looking at it as the prohibited substance, as let's say the lobster meat, viewing it as if it were the same quantity as botzol, and then estimating would there be a botzol taste in the noodles, why not look at the lobster that's in my pot of noodles as if it were chili pepper? And even if you have a thousand times the amount of noodles, you still would perceive the forbidden taste. Amale, so Abaye answers, Shiaru Chachomim, the Chachomim evaluated the Ein Nois Saint Tambi Surin Yosemi Botzel Vekaflut, that of all the forbidden food substances in the world, whether it be elephant meat or shrimps or whatever else have you, none of those things have a more potent taste than Botzel and Kaflut. so that if you have a situation that the equivalent amount of forbidden food in a botsal form, botsal quantity, would not be perceptible, then you don't have to worry about the whatever kind of unkosher food there may be. It's not going to be more potent than the botsal or kaflet. As you can see, we have a slash mark in the Gemara. This indicates that a new trend of thought is about to unfold. You'll notice triangles in two different positions. And in our Nosei Mivneh heading on the side, we've written the following, where you see the two triangles presented. Dugmois Shoinois, different examples, shall Iser Beheter, of a mixture of forbidden with allowed, the Bo'inon Shishim, where we require 60 in order to allow, provide for permissibility. Lifomim ha'isir eino min aminyan. Sometimes when we speak about 60 times, the 60 must be made of 60 pure allowed. Lifomim hu min aminyan. Sometimes the isir itself figures in the quantity. In other words, it might be stated that you need 59 against one. We have a total of 60, the iser being one part of the 60. Kagon b'mikre shel kal. That will come up in the case of the kal. The kal is the udders of a cow, and the udders contain milk. And it may be said that the milk, as long as it's contained within the udders, does not have a Torah status of milk per se, but nevertheless, we treat it with a sense of a strictness, and we require, if you cook up a pot of meat with udders in it, we require also 60. But in that case, we have to state how are we to present the 60. So now turning to the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, gid b'shishim v'ein gid min haminyan. When we talk about the gid, let us say cooked up with other gidin, and we say that you have to have 60 times the allowed quantity against it, or let's say the case of gid cooked up with meat, and we say you've got to have 60 times the meat over the gid. So when we say 60, it means 60 besides the gid. Kal b'shishim u'kal min haminyan. The kal, which we said a moment before, refers to the udders. It's a piece of meat, and it contains in it milk. If it's cooked up with other meat, we require 60 times. However, it really means 59 parts other meat and one part chal, and we will allow it if that is the case. In other words, we will allow the other pieces of meat. Rashi, on the first line under the Gemara, first wide line, Ein gid min aminyan, deboinon shishim deheter levabine. In the case of the gid, you would require 60 parts of that which is allowed besides the gid. Avokal, however, when it comes to the udders, hoyul umin heterhu, since the kal itself is something that's allowed, im nizbashel im habosar, if the kal were cooked with other meat, misharinon le beshishim levado. Misharin le beshishim lebahadi didei. The kal figures as part of the 60 in establishing kashrus. Beitzah b'shishim, if let's say you have an egg from an unkosher variety bird that's cooked together with other eggs, you'd have to have 60 heter allowed eggs v'ein beitzah min haminyan, and the unkosher egg does not figure in the 60. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok Breder of Misharshia, Ukal Atzmoy Oser. Rabbi Yitzchok says that the udders that were cooked up with other meat, it's true that if you've got a total of 60, in other words, 59 parts meat and one part chal, the meat, it's the other meat is allowed, but the others have to be thrown out. The e nofal likadeira acheris oser, and if that chal would fall into another pot, in other words, after it was cooked up in the first pot, if it were to fall into another pot of meat, it would once again present iser, present a threat to the kashrus. It could render the second pot forbidden. Omar of Ashi, ki avinon be Rav Kahana ibayalon. When we were learning by the yeshiva of Rav Kahana, the question arose, ki misharinon, when we make this calculation, b'didei misharinon, do we calculate according to the entire item itself, o b'may denofik minei misharinon, or do we make the calculation based on that which comes, which is exuded forth from it? To answer that, the Gemara says, Pshita debidei misharinon. It's obvious that when we speak about the need for 60 times against it, we're not talking about that which exudes forth from that which is prohibited, but keneged against the entire prohibited substance. The e b'ma denofak minei. Because if you were to think that the calculation is made based on that which exudes forth from it, minoyadinon, how can we possibly know how much came out of this forbidden substance? So we're talking about 60 times the entire quantity itself, the entire quantity of that which is forbidden. Well, elomeato, if this be the case, if you're saying that it's bedidei misharinon, nofal likadeira acheres lo yeoser. If the chal falls into another pot, it shouldn't make the other pot oser. Rashi, a few lines up from the bottom, Rashi says, elomeato, hoil ubedidei misharinon. Since the 60 quantity is against the entire problematic substance, ho iftil kulei. If I have the required amount, let's say the 60 required amount, so the forbidden substance becomes void. Shehalach kol tamo b'tavshil. Whatever problematic taste it may have had is canceled, is voided in the first pot. De'i lav hochi, if not for that, amai boys shishim kamos kulo, what are we requiring 60 against the whole thing? The keva de kule batalte, since I, in effect, canceled or voided the whole thing in the first pot, if it falls into a second pot, it shouldn't have any more power of creating prohibition. So the question is, on that which was said earlier by Rav Yitzchak Breder of Mishashia, that if it falls into a second pot, and by the way, we have little arrows to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in order to make it easier to find where this was stated originally. Why is it then that if once I had the required amount in the first pot where the chal was mixed with the other meat, and we say that the other meat is allowed because I had the required quantity, why when that chal falls into a second pot after it's already been voided, does it present a threat to the second pot? The Gemara answers, Kevan di Omar, Rav Yitzchak Breder of Mishashia, since he said above, Ukhal atzmo osir, that the khal remains osir, after it, true, it fell into the first pot, and true, the rest of the meat, being that you had 59 times the khal, the rest of the meat is successful in repelling or it's successful in overcoming, overpowering whatever milk taste there may have been. But since he said that the udders themselves remain forbidden, shavua rabbonin kechaticha denevela, the rabbonin view it as a piece of forbidden substance, as a piece of nevela. And therefore, after you take it out of the first pot, it's still called nevela, so to speak. It's still called forbidden substance. And therefore, when it falls into a second pot, you have to deal with it all over again. As the Gemara continues, the Gemara will then turn to the issue of the egg. And we will, Mirtz Hashem, take that up in our next shiur. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.